now, we're going to jump into Genesis chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to read down to verse 12. Are we ready?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord.
Yeah.
Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep.
Yeah.
But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord.
Yes.
And also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat.
Yeah.
And the Lord respected Abel and his offering.
Mm.
But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it.
Yeah.
Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him.
Stop it. That's good. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. No, that's a cliche word. I apologize. little generational thing. I'm sorry. Go
I'm
ahead.
Obedient.
Read.
Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?
Lying.
And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground.
Yeah.
So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you guys or teach you guys from the subject just for a few minutes. Heart attack. Heart attack. I want to talk about heart attack. Father, we thank you so much for this word. Breathe on it. God, the worship has been phenomenal. Our hearts have already connected with you. The prep for surgery has already been done. We're ready. We're laying on the table with our hearts open, ready for you to reach in and touch us. Reconstruct. Do whatever you need to do tonight. Just bring us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a society that has become obsessed with competition. You can't look anywhere in America and not see competition. From TV shows to reality shows to reality singing competitions like American Idol, the world went crazy when American Idol came out and Kelly Clarkson won the very first American Idol because we were all excited about the opportunity to watch people compete against each other in the area of singing. Any given Sunday, especially nowadays, some of us not so much because we're Cowboys fans, but that's all right. We will rise again. I feel the Holy Ghost right there. I feel him. Number four pick in the draft. We're better than fourth. It's all right. That was the Lord making sure we get what we need so we can be even better the next year. So let me keep it moving. But any given Sunday, you can turn on your television in the fall and capture this game with pigskins flying in the air called football. And we love watching football. It has some of the highest ratings that you've seen. And some of the highest ratings will be this weekend when the AFC and NFC championship game is played on Sunday. I'll bet you most of you in this room can tell me who's playing this Sunday. Yes, and where they're playing at. And some of you can even tell me what the weather's going to be during the game because we all love competition. We get excited about competition. I mean, people go crazy about competition. Folks will tear their fence down in their front yard take it to the game to hold up to say defense and bring it back home and put it back in the ground and tie it back to the old fence that it was on. Folks will take off their clothes. Foxborough, cold, 22 degrees, snow outside. They start panning the camera. 1 year during the playoffs, it was the AFC Championship game. It was snowing. You could barely see the television. You could barely see the game watching it on the television. And I believe Oakland was playing New England. And they panned the camera, and I saw the unthinkable. I saw a 300-pound-plus man, bald head, no shirt on. And you know how they usually spell with most, they spell words with people all going in. He had the whole word on his chest, just all by himself. Yeah, it said Patriots, whole word right there all on his chest, all by, and he began to jump up and down. I mean, and it was just moving and jiggling. I'm telling you, this dude was so hyped all over competition. And I don't think that competition started in America. I think competition started back in the Bible days. I think we're looking at a situation here in Genesis where we're watching a competitive situation take place. And the fact that Cain and Abel are the first fruit of Adam and Eve after they have fallen from grace. Now, this is the first opportunity that we get to see their offspring interact with each other. And it's interesting to see that as we watch the situation play out, we see a very interesting thing happen. We see a young boy, the firstborn, his name is Cain. Now, the thing that you have to understand about Cain here, because we're going to focus more on Cain, is that Cain is the firstborn. So we understand from biblical times that the firstborn usually has privileges and rights, and they're entitled to inheritance. Am I correct? We see in the Bible, remember Jacob and Esau were in the womb, and they wanted they were competing for the firstborn privileges so much so that they began to fight each other in the womb and pull on each other's feet as they were coming out of the womb, because one wanted to be first and the other one didn't want to be second. This spirit of competition has lived a long time. So we're watching the firstborn. We're watching Cain. Cain is the one that is firstborn. He's the firstborn. He's entitled. And when you're the firstborn, you're a little bit smarter. You're a little bit wiser because you're a little bit older than the rest. And sometimes what happens is when you've been in Christ for a while and you were there before other people got there, you have a sense sometimes of entitlement and that you have a little bit more privileges and rights than other people. And sometimes you'll treat other people differently because you've been saved just a little bit longer than they have. And the same spirit that rose up on Cain can rise up on us in the fact that we see our brothers and our sisters, and if we were born before them in Christ, come on somebody, and if we were born 12 years ago in Christ, again in Christ, and then somebody else was born last week in Christ, we have a tendency to look down upon them because we feel like we have more rights and privileges in the kingdom than they do. And the reason I'm addressing this is because I believe that as we go forward, we're going to have to learn how to embrace our brothers and embrace our sisters and embrace the differences that we have, embrace the actors that we have that are moving around in Hollywood, embrace the people who know how to fix things, embrace folks, and instead of competing with each other, we complete each other. So this spirit of entitlement rose up in Cain, and this is what I believe is. This is why he had such he had that firstborn swagger, if you would say. He had a swagger about himself where he carried himself as if he was a little bit better than his brother because he knew that he was going to get everything that was called to him. Remember, we see another situation where the firstborn and the lastborn get into it as well. We see Joseph and they're spatting about the fact that Joseph is the youngest, and Joseph start having these dreams about him being in charge, and then they start saying, wait a minute, you can't take over. Reuben is the oldest. How can you be the one that's going to be in charge? Reuben is the oldest. What are we doing here? We all know that the oldest is the one that's going to run the family. We all know that the oldest is going to be the one. But what God did with Joseph is he reversed the order. Come on, somebody. He reversed the order and he confirmed it by giving him a coat of many colors. Now, most folks focus on the color of the coat. I focus on the coat itself because the coat itself represents authority. And when God created this coat and gave it to this boy, when his father gave it to his son, this is the same coat that they give as to show who's going to be in charge, who they have chosen. Or when someone comes to find this clan, they look out and they see who has a long-armed garment on, which is another word for the coat. And the one with the long-armed garment on represents the authority figure. So really what his brothers were upset about was truly because his father chose him instead of Reuben, and he was going to be the one that was going to be large and in charge. And I believe that some people in this room, God has switched the order on you, and he has called you to be first, and some other people got there before you. Some other people were more qualified than you. Some other people had better resumes than you. Somebody had more education than you. But God is about to switch the order in 2016, and he's about to put yours at the front and move some other folks around. God will switch the order on us. He will switch it up, just like he did Jacob and Esau. They came and the father switched it up. He crossed his hands on them. Why? Because God is no respecter of person. He will bless who he will, and he will bless who he does. And he switched the order with these sons. It seems as though he honors the youngest son's gift, but he doesn't honor the oldest. Now, I think that there are some things that we need to pay close attention to, because I believe that there's something in Cain that a lot of us can identify with. And I want to make sure that as we're moving forward in the body of Christ and flowing and operating and being able to give opportunities and privileges to serve in the body of Christ even the more so, I need to make sure that this spirit of Cain does not creep into our DNA and does not move into our culture, because we can't afford for the spirit of Cain to stop and stumble the work of God that God has for us to accomplish. So I want to show you guys a few things or a few signs that could indicate the spirit of Cain inside of you. Number one, when you become angry over someone else's blessing. When you become angry over someone else's blessing, define anger. Anger is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. Are you annoyed when the people around you are blessed? How do you feel when the person on the worship team next to you gets promoted and you were there before they got there? You've been a member longer than they've been a member. But all of a sudden, they pick him or they pick her. Does anger rise up inside of you?
That's good.
How do you feel when the guy next to you that takes longer lunch breaks than you? Come on, somebody. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Dude, they leave and don't come back for 2 hours. Where he go? I don't know. I ain't seen him in about 2 hours. I don't know. Next week, he gets a promotion. The devil is a lie? And the truth ain't in him? Y'all, come on. Y'all know y'all start rebuking devils. This is witchcraft. This is of the devil. This is not of God. There is no way God would promote him. He was not faithful over the few. The Bible says when you are faithful over the few, I will make you ruler over many. This is not God, because it is not Bible. Y'all know we will spiritually justify some stuff in a minute. I pay attention to how people react when I hit home runs. I've said this before, but you need to do that too as well in your own life. Inspect the people around you. And when God blesses you, do you feel the support and the comfort and the excitement from the people that are around you? Or are you hostile? Are you angry? Are you upset because somebody else got there before you? Could it be that God blessed someone close to you to give you an opportunity to clap and be excited for them? Because if you can clap and be excited about somebody else's blessing, then maybe God will bless you in return as well. But what happens is if you invited the spirit of Cain and you start getting upset and you start getting angry and you start getting hostile and you start plotting and scheming about how you can take them out or talk down about them or say things that aren't true or speak things that are negative about them or feel a certain way on the inside, then God can't bless you because your heart is wrong. Spirit of Cain. We got to kill it this year. We can't live with the spirit of Cain in 2016. Number two, a fallen countenance when others are blessed. Now, you would think that anger and countenance have something to do with each other, but they have nothing to do with each other. The word countenance means a person's face or facial expressions. Or, check this out, the second definition of countenance means support. Sheesh! Do you pull your support out from people who are blessed around you? I'm not supporting that no more. We ain't even talking no more. You got blessed. You listen, isn't it something? God blesses you and you lose friends? You know what I'm talking about? God blesses you and you lose friends? Wait a minute. This is backwards. Something's wrong with this situation. Something's wrong with this situation. I thought when praises go up, blessings come down. And when I'm blessed, I thought that my homies would be happy for me. And I thought people would be throwing me a party. And I thought folks would be excited about me being in this new season. I thought people would be excited about this promotion that I'm walking in. I thought people would be really, really excited. But what happens when the people who are around you, who have been your ace, coon, boom, who've been your homie, who've been your top dog, who've been your number one, in your favorites on your phone, pull their support out from you and no longer support you? Some of you say, well, I just don't say nothing at all. Saying nothing at all is just the same as not supporting. Your silence is speaking louder than you think. Ooh, I feel the Holy Spirit in the room. We're going to kill the spirit of Cain. Do you remove your support? See, because you should support those around you who are blessed. You should get behind them and stand with them as God blesses them. I have never, ever, 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 ever been upset with any of my friends that God has blessed. You know what? I get more phone calls from my friends that are blessed from anybody else that I think. And you know the kind of things they tell me? They say, I know I can call you about this because I know you will celebrate with me, but I can't call everybody because everybody ain't happy for me. What? I don't even understand it. I don't even understand it. Before I was the pastor at the Potter's House, I was celebrating other people's success. Before I was ever a pastor, I was celebrating other people who hit home runs. Why? Because I'm a good team player. I was a great football teammate because I loved my teammates and I stood behind them and I supported them and I knew how to play team ball. But most of us have been trained to play tennis where we play all by ourselves and we don't want nobody else to play with, so we play tennis instead of playing football. But the kingdom is not tennis. The kingdom is football. 12 people on the field. You got a running back who runs the ball. You got a center who hikes the ball. You got a quarterback who passes the ball. You got linemen who block. And if they don't block, the quarterback can't throw the ball or hand the ball off. If the quarterback doesn't throw the ball or hand the ball off, then your team can't win the game. And let's check this out. Check this out. And then when you throw the ball to Dez Bryant and he scores, he throws up the X, then the defense comes on the field. 12 different players. Now you got 24 people playing the game. And now they're on the field, and they're stopping the offense from scoring. Somebody caught a pick and ran it back for a touchdown. Now you got 12 more people come on the field to kick the extra point. You see, the kingdom is about playing football, not tennis. This is a team sport. And if you play on a team, you got to learn how to cheer for your teammates. You got to learn how to clap for folks when they're blessed. You got to learn how to retweet somebody when they're blessed. You got to learn how to get behind some entrepreneur in the room that's trying to get their stuff going and say, man, you know what? I'll retweet. I'll repost what you got to say. I'll put it up. I'll say something about it. Why? Why would you hate? Why would you allow the spirit of hatred to come over you about somebody else that's close to you that you love that's blessed? Spirit of Cain, kill it. It cannot live in you this year. You have gone as far as you can go with the spirit of Cain. I really believe this is a spirit that's held a lot of us back from going to the next level in God because we refuse to celebrate the success of the people around us. When truly you're celebrating and you're clapping for yourself when you clap for your brother and your sister because you're on the same team. To be mad at your brother or your sister who's blessed is to be mad at your own team. And be upset with your own team. And start fighting. You know the people who are on the sideline, they fight each other. Oh, it always makes the news. You can't be Greg Hardy. You can't be getting into fights on the sideline. You understand? This is a team sport. We got to do this together. But when we start acting as individuals, then it's really, really hard to celebrate other people because my selfishness won't allow me to celebrate you. Number three, so we saw anger rise over Cain. We saw his countenance fall. And then we saw the unthinkable happen. He kills his brother. Are you killing your brother or your sister? Now, I'm not speaking physically, but the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 21, it says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So if life, hold on, stay with me. If life and death are in the power of the tongue, and my words have life or they have death, could it be that when my brother or my sister's blessed or they do something, they get a promotion, and I don't physically kill them with a knife, but I stab them in the back with my words? Sheesh. And you don't even have to say the words to them. You can say the words to yourself. And those words are just as strong as the words you would say to them, because the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So you're speaking negativity and you're speaking hostile and you say, man, I can't believe, man, they ain't even that good. They ain't even that good. They don't even know as much as me. I know more. I'm way more educated than they are. I got way more experience than they do. Oh, it got real quiet in this Pentecostal sanctified church right now. Because some of you say this to yourselves and you say it out of your mouth, or even worse, you say it to other people. And you get on the gossip train and you start speaking negativity about the person that you're supposed to love and have their back. Spirit of Cain. You're killing your brother or your sister, not physically, but you're killing them with your words. And how dare you shut down someone who's trying to score a touchdown for the same team that you're on? Now, I'm speaking kingdom here. I'm talking to people who feel connected to the kingdom of God. I'm talking to the people who are praying what Jesus prayed, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what we want to see. We want to see a great awakening happen in our young adult culture. We want to see millennials come to Christ like they've never come to Christ before. But can I tell you something? If we don't come together and become unified and begin to celebrate each other's differences instead of competing with each other and comparing ourselves to other people, God will never show up in this generation, because he can't look down and see himself, because the only thing that he recognizes is unity, and unity represents himself. Just teaching a little bit. Number four, little fruit. You have little fruit in your life. This is a good indication that you might have a spirit of Cain. Now, the Bible says that the ground, this was his curse when he killed his brother. It says the ground shall no longer yield its strength to you. That means that everything that he was doing and the work that he was doing before, he was getting a certain return on it. But once he did what he did, the Bible says that his return was cut short. And some of you have been working and tealing and you've been slaving in the things of God, and you've been here, you've been doing everything that you need to do, but for some reason you're not yielding any fruit from it. Could it be because you have a spirit of Cain inside of you that is envious, that is jealous, that is competitive, that is comparison to other people that are around you, and instead of celebrating, you're not being blessed and you're not yielding the fruit that you need to yield because of the way and the condition of your own heart? I know it's not a warm and fluffy message, but I feel that we need this message to start the year, because if we're going to go where God wants us to go, you know what I love about Thad? Thad, are you still here? What I love about Thad and what he did with Running Reckless is he incorporated everything, everybody. I saw folk on the stage that I didn't even know existed. Oh, who is that? Wow. I didn't even know they could do that. Wow. That dude's a what? Dang. She sings. She plays. Wow. I mean, it was amazing. And so I love a person that has an inclusive spirit, an inclusive heart. And this is the type of spirit we need to have, because we serve in a really big church where there's a lot always going on. And it's real easy to start thinking about yourself and what you want. But what we got to start thinking about is, how can we include other people around us and incorporate others into what God is doing in my life? And if God blessed you and opened the door for you, then at least you can leave the door cracked for somebody that's coming behind you. See, but what happens is when we embody the spirit of Cain, we turn new believers off. We get people come in our church and say, man, they show is competitive there. Wow. Dang. dog eat dog. They stabbing each other in the back to get to the platform. Killing each other to get a microphone. Wow, is that what this church is about? I never want somebody to leave our church because they feel that spirit. And especially not amongst our young adults. From the one that's been saved the longest to the one that just got saved, we all deserve a spot at the altar. And it don't matter how long you've been saved, we all have an opportunity to come to the altar and spend some time with God. Because none of us are greater than the other. Just because God has given you a gift or a talent that's different from mine does not make you better than me or does not make you less than me. It makes us on the same team. We complete each other. Listen, check this out. We are puzzle pieces. We are puzzle pieces fitly joined together to create one big picture. And what does it look like when a puzzle fights with itself? Don't stand next to me. We mess up the picture that the world's supposed to be seeing. And now when they look at the kingdom and they see this distorted image that should look beautiful, that should be high definition, that should be a beautiful and easy to tell and depict what it is. They can't tell what it is because you got pieces and puzzle pieces that really feel comfortable with this side of the board, but they don't want to come over here and connect to that side of the board. So they're just going to stay over there no matter, even if they see the spot they're supposed to be in over here. So now the picture is skewed. And we've got to get a hold of this. We've got to kill the spirit of Cain that lives inside of us. I don't want you to think about nobody else. I don't want you to think about other people that you know that are dealing with this type. I want you to think about you. I want you to examine you. I want you to see it in yourself or find it in yourself, because you're killing your brother and your sister and you're destroying the kingdom and the work that God wants to do. Keep your mouth off your brother. Keep your mouth off your sister. Some people use "touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm" for the pastors and all, you know, the lay people serve. That's for anybody. If you got, are you anointed? Then touch not my anointed. Everybody in this room has an anointing buried inside of them. And to touch the anointed brings the target of God upon you. And this is why you're not yielding the type of fruit that you want to see. Because the spirit of Cain is upon you. So little fruit. Number five, little freedom. The Bible says that he was going to be a fugitive. A fugitive is running because of guilt, because they're guilty about something. This is good right here. It's good. Somebody who has the spirit of Cain doesn't really exercise the freedom and the liberty that Christ died to give. Because they constantly keep themselves in guilt and shame, and they remember the things that they used to do and the things that they've done wrong. And this could be a key to why they can't celebrate their brother or their sister, because they keep remembering what they did wrong and they can't get past what they did wrong. So in order to make themselves feel better, they talk bad about their brother or their sister, or they slay their brother and their sister with their words so that they can feel good about where they are. Speaking. Some of you need to visit our counseling center. It's a great ministry that we have at the church that's free. Doesn't cost you a dime. Some of you need to get past the issues of your past. Some of you need to get past the hurts, the pains, the molestations, the church hurts. And don't allow it to stagger your movement in the kingdom of God from being and doing what God called you to do. Because We don't need to be fugitives in the body of Christ. The Bible says that Jesus came to give us life, and that more abundantly. He didn't come to give us limited access to the throne. He didn't come to give us limited resources and keep us on life support. He came so that we could have a fruitful, abundant, fun, energetic, exciting life in him. Who says serving God isn't fun? The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. So when you serve God, God opens doors for you. When you serve God, God gives you opportunities. When you serve God and you do it right, he does things that will blow your mind. When you serve God, he will give you opportunities that you don't deserve. When you serve God, he will put you in positions that you don't have, that you don't have the background to support. When you serve God, he will promote you and put you in places that you wouldn't even think of or dream. Why? Because you serve God. And you gotta get your mind off of this. God isn't thinking about your past. He's thinking about your future. Amen. He doesn't care about your nasty history. He's focused on your destiny. Yes. And it's time that you start focusing on your destiny and stop judging yourself from your history. Your history has nothing to do with your future. Your dark past has nothing to do with your bright future. God has a plan for your life. God wants to set you free and put you into motion and use you in the kingdom of God. When you get past what you did, because he's already over it. He's already over it. He's not thinking about it anymore. The minute you asked him for forgiveness, he threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. It's over. It's done. Father, I just speak freedom right now in this room. God, I speak freedom over every person in this room. God, over every person that's watching, God, I thank you in Jesus' name that you begin to break down the walls, Father God. Oh, God, the walls that have surrounded them for years, Father God. The years, the torment, Father God, the mental torture, Father God. I thank you in Jesus' name, God, that you break every chain, that you tear down every wall, Father. Break down every stronghold, every generational curse right now. In the name of Jesus, we curse it right now, Father. And we bless you, God, that you, God, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed, Father. I speak freedom in this room, God. God, I speak against condemnation. Therefore, now is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Father. I thank you, God, that as we stand in you, we stand no longer as fugitives, Father. We stand no longer as guilty, Father, but we stand free, Father God. We stand, Father God, in a liberated state because what Jesus has done, because of the replacement that he made, because of the trade that he made with me on the cross, because of the sin that we put on his back that he took to the cross, Father, we are no longer guilty. We no longer walk with our heads low. I cancel that low self-esteem spirit right now. Low spiritual self-esteem. Do you know who you are? You are your Father's child. You are somebody. God has fearfully and wonderfully made you and created you for a plan and for his purpose. We seal it in Jesus' name. Amen. One more, then we're gonna close this thing out. Little fruit, little freedom, and little stability. The Bible says not only was his ground no longer gonna yield the strength, not only was he gonna be a fugitive, but it also said he was gonna be a vagabond. A vagabond is a person who wanders from place to place without a home or a job. And it represents stability. When you have little stability, that means little staying power. That means that you uproot and you run every time something bad happens. That means that you tuck tail and you hide every time something that doesn't go your way. That means you get up and you move from church to church and from place to place and from ministry to ministry because you didn't get your way, because somebody said something that hurt your feelings. You need to become stable in the things of God. You need to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water that shall yield its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. God called you to be stable. You are a young adult. It's past time for wandering around and figuring out what you need to do. It's time now to be who God called you to be. When you gonna get it together? Your family's waiting on you to get it together. Your neighborhood's waiting on you to get it together. This church is waiting on you to get it together. The kingdom is waiting on you to get it together. The lost generation that they say can't be won, they're waiting on us to get it together. We need to become stable in the things of God, unmovable, hidden in the word, rooted in the word, so full of the word that when the enemy comes against us like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against it. Father, I thank you that you're producing stability in this room. God, I speak stability. God, I cancel that wandering spirit right now. God, I renounce that wandering spirit right now in Jesus' name. You are not an orphan. Sheesh. You have been adopted. You have been adopted by grace through the payment that Jesus Christ gave on the cross. You are no longer an orphan. You don't have to go from place to place begging anymore. Healing is the children's bread. It's yours. Your father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. It's yours. He died so that you could have life and life more abundantly. It's yours. It's time to raise from the ashes, to pick yourself up off the ground and stand up in the house of God and become who God called you to be. And as we close this thing out, everybody focuses, keep playing, everybody focuses on why did God not accept Cain's offering? And why did he accept Abel's? I think we need to focus on something else. I think we need to focus more in on the fact that the Bible says that God didn't accept Cain and his offering. So that means that before he had a problem with his offering, he had a problem with him. And something was wrong with Cain. Something was wrong with Cain that made his offering unacceptable. Because the Bible never goes on to talk about what was unacceptable about his gift. God focuses on Cain and asks Cain, "Why has thy countenance fallen?" Could it be that it wasn't the gift that messed things up for Cain? I think it was Cain's heart. Cain had a heart attack. Cain's heart was in the wrong place. And it kept his gift from being accepted of the Lord. Everyone standing. I feel you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the extra time too, Lord. We can do this. Ah. Wow. Here we are. The beginning of another year. New Year's resolution. Some of us have already broke some of them. But there's a commitment I think we all should make as we start this year. I think we don't need to be focused on all the attributes and the giving and the gifts and all the great things that we know how to do. I think we need to focus more in on the condition of our hearts. Because if your heart's in a bad place, then it puts your head in a bad place. And it puts your actions in a bad place. Because the Bible says in Luke, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if it's coming out of your mouth, it was built up a whole bunch inside of your heart. So the things that are coming out of your mouth, it's because it was buried deep inside of your heart. And you can't help yourself from saying that some of the things you say and believing some of the things you believe because it's abundantly in your heart. Tonight, God wants to do heart surgery and help us not have heart attacks anymore. This year will not be another year where we allow our heart to keep us from serving God the way we need to serve Him. I want to open this altar up for some people that God has touched you and shown you something in this message that you need to fix. God has shown you some people you need to call and repent to. God has shown you some things that you need to start doing differently and seeing differently. But before you can do all of that stuff, I believe you need to get your heart right. And the way we get our heart right is do like David did. David said, "Create in me a clean heart, Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Against you and you alone have I done this thing against." God, before I sinned against Abel, I sinned against you. Before I talk bad about my brother, God, I dishonored you. So, Father, create in me a clean heart tonight. God, I pray that you would create in us a clean heart in this room and draw people to this altar right now. Jesus, now. Now. Draw the people who need to be at this altar right now, Father. God, we need our hearts in the right place so we can do work for you. God, right now, Father, I renounce, God, the spirit of fear. God, this is their moment. This is our moment, Father. God, you want to use us. God, you want to go forth. You want to do some things with us, Father, but we can't do it with our hearts in the wrong place. Oh, God, deliver us from the bitterness that's in our hearts. from the anger that's in our hearts, from the fatherless wounds that are in our hearts. Give us a clean heart. Purge us with hyssop. Make us whiter than snow. Forgive us for the way we've talked. Forgive us for the way we've walked. Forgive us for the way we've thought. Cleanse us, Father. Cleanse our generation, Father. Cleanse the young adults of our church, Father. God, may we be supporters and not haters. God, may we be celebrators, Father, and not haters. God, may we cheer for our brothers and our sisters when things happen for them that are amazing, God. May we not turn our nose up at them anymore, Father. But we're going to stand and we're going to cheer, God, when someone hits a home run around us. Same team, same goal. Same team, same goal. Give us a clean heart, God. 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 Clean us up, God. Just make an altar where you are. Make an altar where you are.
Here's my heart, Lord.
Come on, grown up, make peace with God.
Here's my heart.
You don't need anybody to touch you. You touch God.
Speak what is true.
Help us, God.
Speak what is true.
Change the way we see ourselves, God.
Here's my heart, Lord.
I'm victorious in you, God.
Here's my heart, Lord.
I'm no longer that child that was abandoned.
Here's my heart, Lord.
God, don't let this molestation keep me from having good relationships.
Speak what is true.
God, fix the pain right now.
Speak what is true.
Remove the root of bitterness right now, Father.
And speak what is true.
Come on.
Oh, here's my heart, Lord.
Jesus.
Here's my heart, Lord.
Jesus.
Here's my heart, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak what is true.
Orlando, come here. Curzon, come here. Okay. Orlando, Curzon, are you here? Workers. Come here, sir. I called for Darius and I called for Curzon and I called for Orlando. Because I want to give us an example of something we need to start practicing. This year, Orlando was in a major movie. I know he hates this, but Orlando was in a major movie that Carter High. He was in Carter High, a main character in the movie. Darius was on The Voice this year. Went pretty far too. The guy that was leading worship with the crazy hair, that's Darius Scott from The Voice. Curzon and his wife just started an amazing foundation that's doing very well. And I wanted to highlight them to show you something. We need to practice celebrating things like this. Because, hold on. The worst thing in the world that we could do is to shun these types of people and push them away and hate on them and not celebrate or congratulate them. And then they go into the world and they get handshakes and they get congratulations and they feel the acceptance of the people in the world before they feel it in the church. We need to make sure we do a better job of celebrating other people's success. And when we learn how to celebrate others' success, then maybe, just maybe, God will begin to bring some success our way too, and blessings our way as well. So I wanted to call all three of them up so that we could clap for them, united, and just say we're so well pleased with what God is doing with you guys. Can we just put our hands together? Now, if that was hard to do, you need to be at this altar. We will not carry the spirit of Cain in 2016. We will not die from heart attacks in 2016. We're going to get some work done this year, and we're going to celebrate each other. We're going to love each other. We're going to clap for each other. We're going to get behind each other and push each other. We're going to show up for each other's events and functions and all types of things. And listen, if we all just got behind each other, we wouldn't need anybody else to show up, because all of us would just be behind each other and we would have each other's back. This is what the kingdom of God is about. Celebrate your brother. Celebrate your sister. And watch God elevate you. Watch God elevate you. Thank you, sir. Love you, man. Love you too, man. Stay still. Father, we thank you so much. Let's pray. Everybody touch somebody. You know what I want you to do? I don't want you to kill your brother anymore. I want you to touch your brother. I want you to find somebody that you can touch. And I just want you to spend 30 seconds praying for the person to the left or to the right of you. Because sometimes the root of our issue is selfishness, because all we can think about is ourselves. Let's take a moment and pray for somebody else. 30 seconds. Pray for somebody around you. And I'm not talking about in your head. I mean out of your mouth. Thank you, God. This is going to be the best year that we've ever had as young adults, God. God, we're about to see some things shift this year. God, Running Reckless is going to be unbelievable this year, because there's going to be such a spirit of unity and oneness. Oh, God, Dallas is going to be changed and transformed, Father, because of the unity that's been established in this room. I love my brother. I love my sister. I'm not going to kill them with my words anymore. I'm going to support them. I'm going to get behind them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to find out what their needs are. I'm going to start helping people. I'm not a gossiper. I'm not a backbiter. I'm not a busybody. I'm a celebrator. I'm a lover. Shoo! That's good. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit moving all over this room right now. Woo! Shame. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. That's it. Ah, you should see this room right now. Ah, you should see God smile as he looks in this room right now. As he looks in this room, seeing brothers love brothers. As he looks in this room, seeing sisters love sisters.